Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus the Christ.
Amen.
Amen. In our Acts reading, we heard that St. Paul said to the pastors of Ephesus that the word of God's grace is able to build us up and give us the inheritance among all those who are sanctified. That is, all those who've been made holy, baptized into the righteousness of Christ, into his blood by which he obtained us. St. Paul said that after he told them to be alert, to pay careful attention to themselves and to all the flock in which the Holy Spirit had made them overseers, to care for the church of God. Paul went on to say, I know that after my departure, fierce wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock, and from among your own selves will arise men speaking twisted things to draw away the disciples after them. Acts 20, 28 to 30. Twisted things. That's what lies are. Truth. Twisted. A good lie has the element of truth in it after all, right? So it's believable. It's twisted. Paul spoke about the dangers that the church faced, namely liars, truth twisters, and made sure to commend his hearers to God and the word of grace that's able to build them up despite the lawless twisting of the wolves. The false prophets, or as Revelation 2:2 calls them, the false apostles. Apostle means sent one. If you're a false apostle, you're not sent. As in our Jeremiah reading, they ran, even though they weren't sent. Jesus himself warned us of our ferocious enemy in this morning's gospel text when he said, "Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves." It's the same danger we read about in our Old Testament text, Jeremiah. Thus says the Lord of hosts, do not listen to the words of the prophets who prophesy to you, filling you with vain hopes. They speak visions of their own minds, not from the mouth of the Lord. I did not send the prophets, yet they ran. I did not speak to them, yet they prophesied. My friends, the wolves did indeed enter the church as St. Paul said they would, just as they did in the days of the Old Testament, as we read about in Jeremiah, and they are still to this day among us, twisting God's word, deceiving God's people with vain hopes and visions of their own minds, not from the word of the mouth of the Lord. Yet they do it. Every time they do it in his name. Today's readings remind us to be like the Ephesians, to be vigilant against the false prophets, not who will come someday, as if we have time to procrastinate against their eventual arrival, but the false prophets who have already come from the very first century during the lives of the apostles. Today we hear from God's mouth a word of warning about those among us who are arising and speaking twisted truth to draw the Lord's disciples after them. These wolves operate in the name of the triune God, just as Jesus indicated in our gospel reading, by the threefold repetition of the phrase, in your name. I'll get to that in a minute. On Judgment Day, they'll cling to their blasphemous actions, trying to argue that they are Christians because they prophesied in his name, cast out demons in his name, and did mighty works, that is, miracles, in his name. They will use that as their testimony to declare before the Lord, we are Christian. We did these things in your threefold name. But that is their wrongdoing. That is the very sin they are guilty of. It's that deception that makes them twisters of truth, that makes them wolves in sheep's clothing. That is the very thing they are guilty of. They appear to be like us, members of the Good Shepherd's flock, but when they speak, their fruit is made known. They're not faithful to what has come from the mouth of the Lord. They are not faithful to Scripture, from God's very word, the Holy Bible. Their speaking, which is how they will try to lead you astray, is also by the grace of God, their very undoing. For when they open their mouths, their fruit is revealed. Jesus said, beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. You will recognize them by their fruits. And by this he means, we will recognize them by their doctrine, by what they teach. That's all the word doctrine means, is teaching. It's fancy, but it just means teaching. Will recognize a preacher, whether he is good fruit or bad fruit. We will recognize our own who rise up from among us by their good fruit or bad fruit, by good doctrine or bad doctrine. And yet I wonder, in this day and age, during the great apostasy that we are living in, I wonder, how do we expect this to happen? How do we expect to recognize them by their good fruit or bad fruit? I mean, after all, do you know what is right doctrine of God? Good teaching? Or do we tend to leave such theological things up to the pastor to figure out and then teach to us? Therein lies the danger. I will say the Missouri Synod has a great record of the laity keeping the pastors in check. Keep it up. You are what saves the church from going off the rails. We pastors tend to get a little full of ourselves, and we need the laity to say, bub, that's not what God's word says. But how do you know faithful preaching and teaching when you hear it? Can you, this is the questions you should ask yourself today, can you discern true doctrine from twisted truth of a deceiver? There is Christianese. There's a way of talking about things that sounds very Christian-like, but is the opposite. And we hear much of that these days. Sprinkle a little Jesus on something and it sounds good and holy. And that's the work of a twister. It's up to you to know the truth and hold people accountable. When they speak and say they are speaking from the mouth of the Lord, it's up to you to say, or yes, huh. Are grapes gathered from thorn bushes, or figs from thistles? So every healthy tree bears good fruit, but the diseased tree bears bad fruit. A healthy tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a diseased tree bear good fruit, says the Lord. When it comes to doctrine, to teaching, do you, individually, do you know the difference between a grapevine and a thorn bush? Can you discern between fig trees and thistles? This is the law for us today. This is what stings our hearts as we reflect upon God's word today, because our Lord himself tells us to beware of false prophets. Yet we don't know his word well enough to determine good fruit from bad. If a man comes to us claiming to be a pastor in the LCMS and we see his credentials, we trust him, and so as a congregation we can easily ebb and flow according to whatever the preacher man says. He's been validated, after all, by the seminary. The Lord says, be alert. Paul says, pay attention to what is taught. Your wagons should be hitched to Scripture, not the preacher. Paul echoes Jesus' command twice in our Acts reading, telling us to pay careful attention and then be alert for fear of the wolves that will come after him. But how alert are we here at St. Mark's? How alert are you? Are we evaluating what's said in our midst, whether it's from the pulpit or during fellowship time? Are we evaluating what's said among us according to the Word of God? I can speak for myself and say not stringently enough. We all, myself included, need to be more of sticklers. You know, sticks in the mud, wet blankets, the boring type that say, oh, that's not right, that's out of bounds. But none of us like to be the guy that calls foul, right? As a pastor, I've been in Paul's shoes twice already, worried about what would happen to the congregation I cared for once I left. And one of those times, actually, it was a dual parish, so three congregations I've been concerned about. Would they be able to discern good fruit from bad and thereby fend off wolves in sheep's clothing should they come? Meaning, the guy after me. During my time with you, however long the Lord would have that be, I have one goal, and that is to prepare you for the time when I'm gone. That's my job. To build you up in the word of grace. In Christ, not in me. To build you up in Christ. Christ crucified for the forgiveness of your sins. To hitch your wagon to his cross. To preach the truth. So that you can discern it for yourself. And so you can tell when it's twisted by guys that look like me. And this gets us to our gospel message for today. The gospel. Paul commended his Ephesian hearers to God. He commended them to him and God's word of grace. The cross, Jesus, because that word was able to build them up and give them Christ's inheritance among all who are sanctified. It was true for them and it is true for you. Dear saints, we could be better at being in God's word, knowing it inside and out, at being alert and paying careful attention to right doctrine. To good fruit. We could be better. You can do better at paying careful attention to God's word. It's absolutely true. God's law shows us that. No question about it. We're all sinners. And as it turns out, we all, like those mentioned in Jeremiah, despise the word of the Lord. All of us, including me. It's evident in how little we read it and how low a priority it is for us throughout our daily lives. We don't really need to hear and learn it. We'll get by just fine without it. We say we love it, but our actions reveal the old Adam within us and that we all stubbornly follow our own hearts is also revealed, just like those in Jeremiah. Each and every one of us following after what we want, our choices, our interests. And I said this was getting us to the gospel. That's a very strong law word. So here it is. Here's the gospel part. Given that we are all sinful, I commend you to God. Not to Pastor Bramwell, not to the next guy. I commend you to God himself and his word of grace. I commend you to the Word incarnate, the grace-filled Word that took on flesh, Jesus, the Messiah, the one who went to the cross to die for you and save you from your sins and from the evil foe who would have you follow after the twisted truth of the false prophets, the false apostles. I commend you to God and to God's word that promises you are saved, that you belong to Christ, and nothing and no one will snatch you from your Lord's hand, not even the ravenous fangs of the wolves, nor your own sinful heart. God and His word of grace are able to build you up. He's able to make you more aware of truth than you could ever want to be, so you can discern good fruit from bad. He's able to give you the inheritance won for you by Jesus on the cross, where He shed His blood to obtain you for Himself. You and all the sanctified who by His sacrifice have been given the inheritance of eternal life in the kingdom of heaven with Christ, free from sin. Not everyone who says to Jesus on judgment day, "Lord, Lord," will enter the kingdom of heaven. But the one who does the will of His Father, who is in heaven, he will. Well, none of us do the will of our Father in heaven. Jesus is the only one who did the will of His Father in heaven. He entered the kingdom of heaven to prepare a place for you, who were lawless people. Because you are His saints, and because of that, you have entered the kingdom of heaven with Him, in His wake, attached to His team of horses. You've been baptized into Christ, the only one who entered heaven by the will of His Father, by the law. You enter by the word of grace. By baptism, you are in Christ. You are in the Word made flesh, the Word that comes from the mouth of God. Do not fear, dear saints. Your salvation is not in vain hopes preached by dreamers of dreams who twist the truth, false prophets, wolves, but in Christ Jesus, in the Word of grace. On judgment day, He will say, not, "Depart from me, I knew you not, you workers of lawlessness." He will not say that to you. Have no fear, cast the devil away. Because right now, the same Lord is saying to you, "I do know you. You are mine. You know my voice. Come to me and taste the fruit of right doctrine. Drink from the grapes of my blood and the figs of my flesh. I am your salvation, the keeper of the law for you. For you who repent of your lawlessness. Come and eat. Come and drink from the good fruit of my flesh given and shed for you. I obtained you with my blood. You are mine. Sinners, yes. Sinners sanctified, absolutely, by the Holy Spirit who I sent to preach the word from my mouth, the law and the gospel, the word of grace, that you might receive inheritance, the inheritance of Christ." And so you have. It is true. And so we say, Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard and keep your hearts in Christ Jesus. Amen.